Chapter 42. It had been a week of personal triumph for Manfred Steiner. His address to the conference had been the foundation of the entire talks. All discussion had revolved upon it. He had been called upon to speak at the closing banquet, which General de Gaulle had attended in person. And afterwards, the general had asked Manfred to take coffee and brandy with him in one of the anterooms. The general had been gracious, had asked questions, and listened attentively to the answers. Twice he had called his finance minister's attention to Manfred's replies. Their farewells had been cordial, with a hint of state recognition for Manfred, a decoration. In common with most Germans, Manfred had a weakness for uniforms and decorations. He imagined how a star and ribbon might look on the snowy front of his dress shirt. There had been a wonderful press, both in France and at home. Even a bad-tempered quarter column in Time magazine, with a picture, de Gaulle stooping over the diminutive Manfred solicitously, one hand on his shoulder. The caption read, "The Huntsman and the Hawk. To catch a dollar?" Now standing in the tiny cloakroom in the tail of the South African Airways Boeing, Manfred was whistling softly as he stripped his shirt and vest, crumpled them into a ball, and dropped them into the waste bin. Naked to the waist, he wiped his upper body with a wet cloth, and then rubbed 4711 eau de cologne into his skin. From the briefcase he took an electric razor. The whistling stopped as he contorted his face for the razor. Through his mind ran page after page of the report that Andrew had delivered that morning to his hotel room. Manfred had total recall when it came to written material. Although the report was in the briefcase beside him, in his mind's eye he could review it word for word, figure for figure. It was a stupendous piece of work. How the authors had gained access to the drilling and exploration reports of the five Kitchenerville field companies, he could not even guess. For the gold mining company's security was as tight as that of any national intelligence agency. But the figures were genuine. He had checked those purporting to be from CRC carefully. They were correct. So, therefore, the other four must also be genuine. The names of the authors of the report were legend. They were the top men in the field. Their opinions were the best in Harley Street. The conclusion that they reached was completely convincing. In effect, it was this. If a haulage was driven from 66 level of the Sonder Ditch No. 1 shaft through the Big Dipper Dyke, it would pass under the limestone water-bearing formations, and just beyond the fault it would intersect a reef of almost unbelievable value. It had not needed the lecture that Manfred had received from his corpulent creditor to show him the possibilities. The man who gave the order to drive through the Big Dipper would receive the credit. He would certainly be elected to the chairmanship of the group when that office fell vacant. There was another possibility. A person who purchased a big packet of Sonder Ditch shares immediately before the reef was intersected would be a very rich man when he came to sell those shares later. He would be so rich that he would no longer be dependent on his wife for the means to live the kind of life he wanted and to indulge his own special tastes. Manfred blew the hairs from his razor and returned it to his briefcase. Then, as he took out a fresh shirt and vest, he began to sing the words to the tune, "Heute ist der schönste Tag in meinem Leben." He would telephone Ironsides from Jan Smuts Airport as soon as he passed through customs. Ironsides would come up to the house on Sunday morning and receive his orders. As he knotted the silk of his tie, Manfred knew that he stood at the threshold of a whole new world. The events of the next few months would lift him high above the level of ordinary men. It was the chance for which he had worked and waited all these years.